Psalm 119, 130. The entrance of thy words gives light. It gives understanding unto the simple. Psalm 119, 130. Jeremiah 16:17. For mine eyes are upon the ways of man, and I see all his steps. Jeremiah 16:17. Acts 15:18. Known unto God are all his works from the beginning of the world. Acts 15:18. Acts 16:31. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. Acts 16:31. And now would you open your Bibles, please, to Isaiah chapter 40, verses 3 through 5, and John chapter 1, verse 23. Isaiah chapter 40, verses 3 through 5, and John chapter 1, verse 23. We spend a moment in prayer before we begin our scripture reading and our study for today. May we pray together, please. Father, we rejoice today in the fact that we realize how wonderful it is to be a member of the royal family, heirs of God, joint heirs with Jesus Christ. Father, we're thankful for the opportunity to be here today, once again to open our minds and hearts to these magnificent truths. We're thankful for the Word of God. We're thankful for the ministry of the Holy Spirit. We're thankful for all the logistical provisions of life. We thank you that you promised us in your Word that you would never leave us, never forsake us. We are the recipients of your grace every single day. And we thank you over and over again for every blessing. We pray in Jesus' name, amen. Isaiah chapter 40, beginning with verse 3. A voice is calling, clear the way for the Lord in the wilderness. Make smooth in the desert a highway for our God. Let every valley be lifted up, and every mountain and hill be made low. And let the rough ground become a plain, and the rugged terrain a broad valley. Then the glory of the Lord will be revealed, and all flesh will see it together. Then if you will go to the book of John, a magnificent passage of scripture which beautifully reveals a man by the name of Isaiah. He said, I am a voice of one crying in the wilderness, make straight the way of the Lord, as Isaiah the prophet said. All of you are aware of the fact that we are studying the book of Isaiah. We've emphasized in past days the message that Isaiah brings. We're going to do a quick review of where we've been in recent days. Isaiah's message. Isaiah is widely regarded as one of the greatest prophets of the Bible. That's point one. Isaiah is widely regarded as one of the greatest prophets of the Word of God, the Bible. His name, YHWH, means the Lord is salvation. When we look at the life of Isaiah, we discover that he lived in Jerusalem, and the prophecies God gave him were directed toward Israel, Judah, and other nations. When we go to chapter 1, verse 1, that verse reveals that he received visions from God during the reigns of four kings of Judah. Those four kings are Uzziah, Jotham, Ahaz, and Hezekiah. As I was reviewing the message for today, I realized that I just mentioned here that he lived during the reigns of four kings of Judah, Uzziah, Jotham, Ahaz, and Hezekiah. And I remember so vividly in Isaiah chapter 6 when it says, in the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord. And so I felt it was necessary for me to interrupt myself for a few moments and tell you that we need to look at the contemporary kings of Judah. Uzziah, 787 to 735 B.C. a good king with a long and successful reign. If you're interested in the contemporary kings, you will discover that there are contemporary kings of Judah, there are contemporary kings of Israel. I only mention these because of the fact that in the year that King Uzziah died, we hear Isaiah saying, "Here am I, send me." Uzziah, 787 to 735 BC, a good king with a long and successful reign. The next one mentioned is Jotham, and you'll see that the dates there are 749 to 734 BC. When we study about him, we discover that he's a good king and co-regent with Uzziah. We've seen now Uzziah, and we've seen Jotham. We've seen Uzziah in 787 to 735 B.C. We see Jotham in 749 to 734 B.C. That takes us then to Ahaz in 741 to 726 B.C. And when you go to 2 Chronicles chapter 28, you will discover that he's presented as he really is, a very wicked individual, Ahaz. The next king is Hezekiah. In 726, 697 B.C., we discover when we find him in 2 Chronicles 29 that he's a good king. Hezekiah, 726 to 697 B.C. Then we go to Manasseh in 697 to 642 B.C. And when we go to 2 Chronicles chapter 33, we discover that he was a very wicked individual. Now we've seen Uzziah, Jotham, Ahaz, Hezekiah, and Manasseh. I've gone over this quite rapidly, but I just want you to see that in my preparation, I came to the point where I saw Uzziah, and I felt like it was necessary for us to have some mental concept of the contemporary kings of Judah. Uzziah, Jotham, Ahaz, Hezekiah, and Manasseh. Now we go to the next emphasis, and that is number 5. The time covered is from the end of King Uzziah's reign, which is Isaiah 6:1, to the Assyrian King Sennacherib's siege of Jerusalem. And that's approximately 40 years during the last half of the 8th century B.C. Let me see if I can review for a few moments and let you see that we've looked at the reigns of 4 kings of Judah, Uzziah, Jotham, Ahaz, and Hezekiah. Number 5, the time covered is from the end of King Uzziah's reign, which is presented in Isaiah 6:1, to the Assyrian king Sennacherib's siege of Jerusalem, which is approximately 40 years during the last half of the 8th century B.C. Number 6, Isaiah was married to a prophetess, according to Isaiah 8:3. You remember that we've already emphasized this in past sessions, but I want you to see that Isaiah was married, according to Isaiah 8:3, had 2 sons. This is found in Isaiah 7:3 and Isaiah 8:1-4. The first son's name meant a remnant shall return, and the second son's name meant speed the spoil, hasten the booty. And I said, as I looked at this, things that I thought you needed to know. I put that in parentheses in lower case so you could see I had a little sense of humor. Number 7, Jewish tradition says he was killed, Isaiah was killed, by being sawn in two by King Manasseh, the son of King Hezekiah. This theologians tell us that is alluded to in the book of Hebrews, chapter 11, verse 37. Number 8, the style of Isaiah's writings reveals how well educated the individual Isaiah was. You'll notice that I've put on here for you to be able to see what various scholars say about Isaiah. They say that his life was characterized by versatility of expression and brilliance of imagery. I thought those words were very important for us to be able to get some concept of the man Isaiah. The style of Isaiah's writings revealed him to be well-educated by his versatility of expression and brilliance of imagery. The style of writing includes epigrams, metaphors, dialogue, hyperbole, and parables. These are illustrations of the type of man Isaiah was. Number 9, many of the prophecies of Isaiah begin with historical conditions and then prophecies for his day. And then as you look at it, you will discover that it not only deals with historical conditions and prophecies of Isaiah's day, but it moves forward to a far greater fulfillment prior to the return of the Lord Jesus Christ. I realize that when I write this information down, that I'm saying it with a background of understanding what I'm dealing with. And I need to remind you that what we're seeing here is that when you look at the book of Isaiah, you will discover that God has this man about 700 years before Jesus Christ came on the scene, and he's giving us a tremendous amount of fantastic information. Number 9 again, many of the prophecies of Isaiah begin with a historical condition and the conditions, and then the prophecies for the day in which Isaiah lived. And then when you continue to study the book of Isaiah, you will see that all of these concepts move forward to a far greater fulfillment prior to the return of our Savior Jesus Christ. Number 10, prophecies of the coming day of the Lord and the kingdom of God are similar and point to only one fulfillment. Let me see if I can remind you what I'm thinking about here. Prophecies of the coming day of the Lord and the kingdom of God are singular and point to only one fulfillment. My goal today was to deal with the major themes of prophecy in this first session. And I want you to be able to see that I have on the screen now the four major themes of the prophecy of Isaiah. Number 1 is the emphasis on Jesus Christ. I may not get any farther than that today in this first session. Major themes of prophecy, Jesus Christ. The second major theme of prophecy, Isaiah, warnings to Israel and warnings to Judah. It's important for you to have in your thinking as you study the book of Isaiah that Jesus Christ is the major theme of the book. And then there are warnings to Israel and Judah. The third emphasis in major themes of prophecy is the day of the Lord. In the second session today, we're going to talk about the day of the Lord, the day of Christ, the day of God. These are different expressions in the Word of God that are so unique and so interesting and such a great emphasis, the day of the Lord. Then the fourth major theme of the prophecy in the book of Isaiah is the kingdom of God. Let us note now these four major themes. Basically, let's deal with the first one, Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ, most important. Almost one third of the chapters of the book of Isaiah contain prophecies about our Lord, addressing both his first and second comings. Please notice what I'm emphasizing here. Almost one third of the chapters contain prophecies about our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, addressing both his first and second comings, the first advent and the second advent. I wish I knew what was going on in your mind as I make mention of these two major events, the first advent and the second advent. I trust that you're able to have in your thinking a timeline, and you're seeing the Old Testament in the age of the Gentiles. You're seeing the Old Testament in the age of Israel, and you're seeing the age of Israel being interrupted with the church age, intercalated, inserted down into that timeline of the continuation of the age of Israel. I trust that you're able to see that we're living in the time of the age of grace right now, We're living in that time that has been inserted into the age of Israel. The age of Israel is not over yet. And so we discover that the age of Israel will continue and be consummated with the 7 years of tribulation. Most of us are fully aware of that. We need to understand some things about the first advent and the second advent. And I trust that in your mind right now you have a mental picture of where the first advent is. We just mentioned it. And you have a mental picture of where the second advent is. Almost one third of the chapters contain prophecies about our Lord Jesus Christ addressing both his first and second comings. Number two, he provides more prophecy of the second coming than any other Old Testament prophet. Do you have that in mind? He provides for us more prophecy of the second coming than any other Old Testament prophet. What I discover is that so many people get things so mixed up when we talk about the second coming and we talk about the first coming and we talk about the first advent, we talk about the second advent, and then we talk about the rapture. And people get all these things mixed up. Almost one third of the chapters contain prophecies about Jesus Christ addressing both the first and the second comings. He provides more prophecy of the second coming than any other Old Testament prophet. What is interesting is that when we get to the book of Isaiah and when we get through these various books of the Bible, we discover that Jesus Christ is presented over and over again as the I am. I am the bread of life in John chapter 8. I am the light of the world. Before Abraham was, I am. In John chapter 10, Jesus said, I am the door. Again in that same chapter, he says, I am the good shepherd. In John chapter 11, Jesus says, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. When you go to John chapter 14, verse 6, Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no one comes to the Father except by me. When you go to John 15, verse 1, Jesus says, I am the vine, and you are the branches. What is interesting, when you go over into the Old Testament, the book of Psalms, we discover that Psalm 22, 6 says, Jesus speaking, I am a worm. Interesting, isn't it? In Psalm 69, 8, I'm a stranger unto my brethren. In Psalm 69, 20, I am full of heaviness. In Psalm 102, verse 11, I am withered like grass. And when you go to Psalm 69, 29, Jesus is saying, I'm poor and sorrowful. There are 35 I ams in the book of Isaiah. 35 I ams in the book of Isaiah. I'll just give you two examples. Isaiah 41, 4, I am the first and the last. Could I pause for a moment to let you see something? In this passage of scripture, Isaiah 41, 4, Jesus is saying, I am the first and I am the last. I'll come back to that in a moment, because I want you to see that in Isaiah chapter 60, verse 16, he says, I am the Savior. I am the Savior. I'll come back in a few moments, but when you go to the book of Ezekiel, you'll find 70 I ams. When you go to the book of Jeremiah, you will discover 21 I ams. The prophetical books, you will find 154 I ams. Oh, when I go to the book of Revelation, chapter 1, I find verse 8, verse 11, I'm Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. When I go to Revelation 1, 17, I hear Jesus say, I'm the first and the last. When I go to Revelation 22, 16, I read, I am the root and the offspring of David. Oh my, I cannot tell you how excited I get when I find certain things in the Word of God. I want you to be aware of the fact that I've given this before. I think I'm going to give it every Sunday for the rest of my life because I feel like it's such a powerful, wonderful emphasis on who Jesus is. On the screen, you're going to see now what you've seen before. There's the Hebrew first letter of the alphabet, Aleph. You'll look carefully and you will discover that there is a last letter of the Hebrew alphabet, which is Tav. You see Aleph up here, we see Tav down here, which is simply an emphasis upon the fact that these are the two letters of the Hebrew alphabet, first and last. Keep in mind that Jesus said, I am in the New Testament, I am the Alpha and the Omega. Those are the two Greek letters of the alphabet. So we have Alpha and Omega, the first and the last. Here we have in the Hebrew language, the first letter and the last letter of the Hebrew alphabet. Now, here's the point that I say is extremely exciting to me. I want you to be able to see this, and I'm going to point it out to you so slowly and carefully. When you go to Genesis chapter 1, verse 1, a verse that all of us can quote, in the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. I don't know whether you can see this from where you're sitting, but that's okay. I want you to be able to see that I have an emphasis here. The first letters, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Now, what you have to understand is, if you look at these words, and I want you to look carefully, you'll be able to see something. Word one, in the beginning, bara, created, God, Elohim. The fourth word, if you're able to see this, the fourth word that has never been translated, you will have the first and the last two letters of the Hebrew alphabet. Now, I don't want that to just sink. I want it to sink in. I don't want it to just pass over your head. I want you to see that we have one, two, three. The fourth word, which is not a word, in the original text is the first and the last letters of the Hebrew alphabet. So when I analyze this, here's what I put down. Here we find Jesus in the very first verse of the first chapter of the first book of the Bible. Please, please, please don't miss that. So what do we see here? In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. The fourth word of the original text is a word that has been omitted from the English translation. And this word reveals Jesus in a profound way. Actually, the word omitted is not a real word. And that is the reason translators did not handle it or put it into the translation. The omitted word, not a word. But the two letters, first, last letters of the Hebrew alphabet. Aleph, Tav. I just wish we ought to say it over and over again. Aleph, Tav. Memorize that. First and last letters of the Hebrew alphabet. So, how do we translate this verse? We translate these two letters in this way. In the beginning, the A to Z God created the heavens and the earth. In the beginning, the A to Z God created the heavens and the earth. Who is that? Jesus revealed in Revelation 1:8, I'm the Alpha and the Omega. I'm the Aleph and I'm the Tav, who is and was and who is to come, the Almighty. That is precisely what the two Hebrew letters are saying. I am the beginning and the end, and I'm everything in between. Have I presented this to you before? Yes. Did you get it? I think you did. But it's good for us to hear it over and over and over again, because we need to be reminded of the fact that when you go to the first book of the Word of God and the first chapter and the first verse, you find the Lord Jesus Christ. I am, and I am. I am the Alpha, I'm the Omega. I'm the Aleph, and I'm the Tav. The one who is, the one who was, and the one who is to come. And then I ask a question, is it clear now? Who is it that created the world? This hidden Genesis 1:1 Jesus, but now revealed in the first verse of the Bible. Most of you have already memorized this, but when you go to John chapter 1 verse 3, it says all things came into being through Him, and apart from Him nothing came into being that has come into being. What I'm trying to say to you is, you find Jesus on every page of the Word of God. You may not see it completely, but it's there. All things came into being through Him, and apart from Him, nothing came into being that has come into being. Jesus is clearly identified as the Creator God, the A to Z God, who created everything that was created. A profound confirmation of the identity of the man Christ Jesus. We reread Genesis 1:1 in this way. In the beginning, the A to Z God, Jesus, created the heavens and the earth. I just want you to stop for a moment and rejoice with me in finding Jesus in the fourth word, which is not a word, in the first verse of the first chapter of the first book of the Word of God. In the beginning, the A to Z God, Jesus, created the heavens and the earth. Well, what else should I do? I can just continue to be excited. When you go to Revelation 21:6, great emphasis is placed upon the I Am, the one speaking, and His uniqueness. That's Revelation 21:6. A great emphasis is placed upon the I Am, the one speaking, and His uniqueness. The expression here applies to both the Father here and the Son in Revelation 22:13 and following. The Bible reveals that Christ and the Father are one. Many people do not comprehend this. John 10:30, I and my Father are one. Revelation 3:14 depicts the fact that Jesus Christ is the beginning of the creation of God. What are you seeing right now? Are you seeing a triangle in your mind? Are you seeing the members of the Godhead in the eternal ages past? Are you able to see the Father, the pre-existent Christ, and the Holy Spirit? I think you're seeing that. So we have an emphasis upon each member of the Godhead, the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit, all having the same characteristics, the same attributes. Their sovereignty, righteousness, justice, love, eternal life, omnipotence, omniscience, omnipresence, immutability, veracity, all of you can name those. That belongs to the Father. That belongs to the Son, the pre-existent Christ. That belongs to the Holy Spirit. Revelation 3:14 depicts the fact that Jesus Christ is the beginning of the creation of God. Note now, Alpha and Omega principles. Omega glory, you'll have to listen carefully. Omega glory reveals that Jesus Christ controls history. Put in your mind Omega Glory. And put in your mind the fact that this is the last letter of the Greek alphabet. Notice where I am. The Omega Glory reveals that Jesus Christ controls history. You have to think. You have to understand where we are. We're emphasizing the Alpha and the Omega. Right now we're emphasizing the Omega, which is the last letter of the Greek alphabet. Number one, Omega Glory. We're talking about glory now. Reveals that Jesus Christ controls history. You and I need to understand this at this particular time of history. All of us have been able to perhaps at times punch a few panic buttons, wondering what's going to happen. We must remind ourselves that Jesus Christ is the Alpha and the Omega. He is the Omega Glory. And the Omega Glory reveals that Jesus Christ controls history. Number two, Jesus Christ is Alpha, was eternal God. But Jesus Christ as Omega controls history. You're not going to get this if you don't really pay attention. I promise you. Omega Glory, Alpha and Omega. Omega Glory reveals that Jesus Christ controls history. Jesus Christ as Alpha was eternal God, is eternal God. But Jesus Christ as Omega Glory controls history. Number three, historical blessings are administered through the client nation. We live in the midst of the client nation. God has blessed us, as we understand, in relationship to the fact that God has been with our nation, and we appreciate His blessings. We need to be extremely careful that we grow in grace and knowledge of Jesus Christ and increase the pivot so that there will be enough believers who hold to God's truth that will be able to preserve our great nation. Historical blessings are administered through the client nation of God. Number four, historical disaster is usually administered through some evil anti-God nation. You want to write that down, please. Historical disaster is usually administered through some evil anti-God nation. Number five, Alpha refers to the pre-incarnate Christ as eternal God, co-equal with the Father and co-equal with the Holy Spirit. Please give careful attention to these words in number five. Alpha, that's the first letter of the Greek alphabet. Alpha refers to the pre-incarnate Christ as eternal God, co-equal with the Father and the Holy Spirit. I said that a few moments ago when I referred you to that triangle. And I gave you the members of the Godhead, deity 1, 2, and 3. And I said, here is the Father. Here is the pre-existent Christ. Here is the Holy Spirit. And all of these have the same attributes and the same characteristics. Alpha refers to the pre-incarnate Christ as eternal God, co-equal with the Father and the Holy Spirit. Number six, Omega Glory is the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ in hypostatic union, which began at the resurrection, ascension, and session. Your mind now should go again to this timeline, and you ought to be able to come down to see that the age of Israel, during that time, Jesus Christ came on the scene, virgin conception and virgin birth. We see that Jesus Christ was born in the age of Israel. We see that Jesus Christ lived in the age of Israel. Jesus Christ died in the age of Israel. Jesus Christ came out of the grave, triumphant over sin and grave and hell and death in the age of Israel. Omega glory is the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ in hypostatic union. And we go back to the resurrection, the ascension, and the session. Number 7. We're still dealing with the Omega glory here. In the Omega glory, we've included the virgin conception, the hypostatic union, the humanity of Christ, impeccability, spiritual death, saving work, redemption, propitiation, reconciliation, imputation. Oh my. And the somatic death of Jesus Christ on the cross. His physical death, his bodily resurrection, and the awarding of the third monopoly. Very important. We need to discuss that, but I don't take the time now. Let's go back. In the Omega glory, we have included virgin birth, hypostatic union, the humanity of Jesus Christ, impeccability, spiritual death, saving work, redemption, propitiation, reconciliation, imputation, the somatic death of Jesus Christ on the cross, and his physical death, bodily resurrection, and the awarding is a key, of the third monopoly. Number 8. Revelation, when you go to that book, Revelation is the history of our Lord's royal monopoly. When given what must happen before the second advent and what happens down to the end of the world. Oh, to have time to discuss number 8. Revelation is the history of our Lord's royal monopoly. When given what must happen before the second advent, do you know where the second advent is on that timeline? And what happens down to the end of the world? Summary of Omega glory. When you come to a summary of the Omega glory, Alpha, Omega, first letter, last letter, summary of Omega glory. It includes his uniqueness as the God-man. It includes his work on the cross, presented to us in Acts 4:12 and John 14:6, where Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no one comes to the Father except by me. Number 10, and our last one. This royal patent was given without a royal family. And the church age was inserted to provide our Lord his royal family. Oh my, can you see this? Can you see this? When Jesus came on the scene, he didn't have a family. And God said, I'm going to give you a family. And the family I'm going to give you is every born-again believer of the church age, which includes all the people born again in this auditorium this morning and people born again around the world. Do you see it? Do you see it? Jesus Christ didn't have a family, and God said, don't worry about that. You do what you're supposed to do, and I will give you a family. And that family is now being built. And we don't know just when the last person who's going to be in that family is going to be saved. But when that takes place, the rapture will occur. The royal patent was given without a royal family. And the church age was inserted to provide our Lord his royal family. Notice, Kyrios, Lord, comes before Theos. Oh, do you see it? To emphasize his incarnation, the Omega glory, and then Theos emphasizes Alpha glory, the one being who is, who was, and the one coming, the Almighty. I have a bunch more pages of information, but it's time for us to close this session. May we bow for a moment of prayer, please. Father, we're thankful today that we're living in this magnificent time, the age of grace, the church age, when this royal family is being built. We really appreciate the fact that you've allowed us to live at this time. What a wonderful time to be alive, knowing that we have the responsibility of giving out the good news of salvation through Jesus Christ, being aware of the fact that every time we win someone to Jesus Christ, it could possibly be the last person who's going to be completing that family. Help us to see that. And today, as we come to the close of this service, we're aware of the fact that there may be someone hearing this message today who's never accepted Jesus Christ as Savior. What a wonderful experience this would be for them to accept God's plan of salvation through Jesus Christ. Salvation, because Jesus said, "Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." We're aware of the fact that salvation is by faith alone in Christ alone. And we pray that even at this very moment, there would be someone who would say, "Oh yes, I realize my need for salvation, and I accept the only one who can save, and that's Jesus Christ." And this individual right now can call and believe and accept you. And upon the authority of the Word of God, they can know without doubt that they're born into your family. We thank you for ever blessing. In Jesus' name, amen.